Hi, everyone. Welcome to our latest episode of Knowledge Lake Pivot, our podcast where we talk about everything synthetic labor, hyperautomation, digital transformation. And today we've got Gary Smith joining us once again here from Knowledge Lake. Gary, nice to see you.
Yeah, very nice to see you too, Pam. I'm excited to be back with you.
Awesome. So, Gary, you know, since we launched Synthetic Labor a few months ago, we've been talking about it in various ways. We've been giving examples of it. We've been talking about what the concept is. And in different ways, we want to make sure that it resonates with our listeners. Recently, I've heard you refer to it with regards to the three R's. Can you explain what you mean by the three R's? What are they? What does that mean?
Yeah. Thanks, Pam. It's a great question. This is such a difficult topic because we're not really, I think we get looked at like so many other products out there. It's a software product, right? And there is so much depth to what we're doing. We're changing the way organizations work, right? How they deliver their magical work product, whatever that is, to their customers for their customers' ultimate satisfaction, right? So the three R's really has come about because as we've been talking about this, the questions that keep coming up from both our clients as well as prospects that are deeply interested in evaluating us, they're all saying, well, at the core, what do you do? What is it that is about you? You keep saying you're this labor as a service platform that lives up in the cloud. It's cloud native, all this modern architecture. But let's cut to the chase. What do you do from a business perspective? And really the three R's, three things, right? It's reimagine, it's repatriate, and it's relief. And I know those all sound really weird. Let me give you an example of each of those. So under the heading of reimagination, work itself at the organizational level has not been talked about in decades, arguably not since the people process technology methodology that came out, evolved in the 1950s as the mainframe, came into the organization and was influencing how white collar workers actually accomplished their work. That needs to change now because as systems have grown up and become more and more capable, they've gone from just being something that serves a person to actually doing the work of a person. That's really at the core of synthetic labor. So reimagining the work your organization does in a way that is actually taking advantage of synthetic labor as a worker. The second element, repatriate, if you're an organization that is thinking of sending something offshore, or if you've got a lot of things that are being done offshore for you in India, Brazil, wherever it might be, we encourage you to repatriate those politically, geopolitically, and socially. Insulate yourself from time zone issues, from language barriers, from geopolitical instabilities. Like look at China and the Philippines. There is a massive face-off going there. You Google that and you're going to see crazy images of naval vessels ramming each other, right? Take that risk out of your business, bring it back in, put it in the cloud where it's replicated, backed up all over Microsoft's globe, right? So that's the repatriation piece of it. And the third area is relief. One of the things that we are seeing more than we ever expected is AI is not making people's jobs easier. In fact, almost like I paid them to do so, but I didn't. The BBC had an article last week discussing this and some of the studies that are now coming out. And the problem is people are being asked to do more with AI, but they're also still being asked to do their old tasks. You have to hive off the old work to get to the new work and the higher value add work for humans. So that's really what the three R's represent, right? It's that reimagine, repatriate, and relief to the human work source so that they can do the higher value add stuff and not burn out.
That's great, Gary. I really think that it's a really clear way to define and describe what we mean by synthetic labor. So I think it makes a lot of sense. Now that you've described those three R's, what do you think is the best way for an organization to get started with synthetic labor and really take advantage of those three R's?
That's the million-dollar question, or maybe it's the multi-billion-dollar question, I think, Pam, right? There's There's a couple ways. Like when I think of this, there's a slide image that McKinsey had created, and it plays off of the riff of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that old famous image that everybody's familiar with. I like to think of it in the terms that McKinsey put out. They had five core elements, and of course, you can't move to the next element unless the element before it has been completely satisfied and codified for the organization. And they build from the bottom up. And the first thing they build out is technology. Technology to augment human capability for continuous improvement. The Japanese would call it Kaizen, right? It's that continuous improvement of how you work. That is, we are at that very foundational level. That is what our synthetic labor as a service actually provides, right? Then the next, once you've satisfied that piece, the next step up is the actual systems to eliminate the waste and deliver value to shareholders. That's just a fastball up the middle for us at Knowledge Lake. Because what are we doing? We're eliminating work waste by realigning or a redivision of labor where it belongs. It doesn't all belong with the human anymore. It hasn't for a number of years now. You have a synthetic laborer that actually can do these things faster, far cheaper than any source of human labor anywhere on the planet, and way more accurately, right? You get work quality levels that are unachievable by human labor source. Those two bottom components free up the other five core elements of McKinsey's pyramid, right? The fact is, you have to start there. And so I would advocate that you do that, and the way you do that is you change how you're portioning off work. You're going to see a very different looking org chart. There's just no way around it. Your org chart's going to look like it's got humans on it and synthetic workers. And that's going to cause confusion for the knowledge workers in your company and the management of those knowledge workers. Everybody's going to be frightened, and that has to be addressed. It doesn't mean that their job is going away necessarily. Yes, you may have whole chunks of work that have gone away and moved over to a synthetic laborer, but the human element is still greatly essential to everything that the mission of any organization has been established as, right? So when I view it's something where the way an organization will talk to Wall Street analysts about itself, or just talk to investors about itself, is they will begin to start talking about the fact that they are an organization of X number of people and Y number of synthetic workers. And that will be a signal to the analysts on Wall Street, to investors, whether they're private equity, whether they're venture, whether they're angel. That will be an absolute signal to them that you have made the processes in your labor functions to deliver your company's particular mission as absolutely efficient as they can be made. You've got mistakes out of the system. You've got speed at the very core of what you do. These are really important things. And to do all of what I just described, you need a C-suite or a very, very senior level executive. It could even be a board member that champions your cause. They have to be your internal executive sponsor. You're going to be asking for things like that change work in such a way that HR is going to need to be involved. And these aren't difficult things, but you have to have a sponsor helping you do it. There's a cultural shift that occurs there. And you have to go, the last piece, you have to go beyond thinking of what we used to talk about, Pam, in the old days when you and I were in the RPA world, which was the last generation, right? That thinking about use cases it's a dead end. You're not shifting away something that maybe Mary or Ann or Fred is working on and giving them back a half an hour in their day. You are shifting entire tranches of work out of a department so that department can focus on much higher value add things, right? And there's a ton of examples of it. I don't want to go into any here. I would maybe use that as a hook for people that
Yeah,
are
we've got
interested.
other pivot episodes.
Right. So I don't want to steal our own thunder, Pam.
Right. Well, that was fabulous, Carrie. I think hopefully this was enough of a taste so that our audience will come back and listen to those next episodes of Pivot, where you can go more in depth on those examples of what you mean. I think if anyone wants to get started and is listening today, please go to knowledgelake.com. There is a free trial on our website where you can see what Knowledge Lake can do for you, but you can also reach out to Gary and he'll be happy to chat with you and do a free consultation. So, Gary, thank you so much.
Thanks, Pam. I
And
appreciate the time.
thank you. Till next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.